"Have I not commanded you?" God said to Joshua. "Be strong and of good courage. Be not frightened, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz, Director of Distance Learning at Wyoming Catholic College, and you're listening to the After Dinner Scholar. The Bible, to no one's surprise, is filled with examples of courage. Moses stood up to Pharaoh. David ran to battle Goliath with nothing but a sling and a few stones. Elijah called out King Ahab. Peter stood up to the Sanhedrin and eventually to the Roman authorities who put him to death. G.K. Chesterton, commenting on Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, "Alone of all creeds, Christianity has added courage to the virtues of the Creator." At the Wyoming School of Catholic Thought this June, I spoke about the meaning of courage in the Bible, focusing on the Old Testament story of Joshua. Here are my remarks in their entirety. One of the great perks I've found of being at Wyoming Catholic College is the opportunity to sit in classes taught by my colleagues. And this past year, I have been taking beginning Latin with our freshmen. And I'll be with them next year as their sophomores. And one of the great things about Latin is that I can boss my dog around in Latin. And I have a bilingual dog now.
How do you say, "Don't eat the remote"?
Exactly. Having taken Russian in high school, Biblical Greek and Hebrew at seminary, I have some experience with languages. But Magister, AKA Eugene Hamilton, said something about learning languages that I'd never heard before, but is absolutely brilliant. He said, "Remember, Latin is not code for English." That's brilliant. Now, of course, when you're a rank beginner, Latin is code for English. You know, Italian is code for English. In the beginning, credo simply means, "I believe." But there's more to it than that. Credo contains the Latin word do, "I give." So credo isn't just code for "I believe" in the sense of "I assent to these propositions in this creed that I'm reciting." Credo carries with it the idea of "I give myself." It's not just believing as in I can check off these lists of things that are in my brain, but I give myself to the faith spelled out by these propositions. Courage. Well, courage is there in our English Bibles. But Hebrew, and we're going to concentrate on the Old Testament, Hebrew is not a code for English. And we've already talked about that some with regard to translation issues around the word for courage in Greek and Latin and English. Well, I'm going to add another language to it, which is to say there's no one Hebrew word that's a one-to-one correspondence with the English word courage. So I want to proceed by kind of triangulating around this word. And while we're going to discuss Daniel, I want to begin by looking at Deuteronomy and Joshua. Deuteronomy 31. This is the end of Moses' career as a leader. He's going to die soon. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel. And he said to them, "I am 120 years old this day. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, 'You must not go over the Jordan.' The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy the nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, and their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the commands which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." Then Moses summons Joshua and said to him in the sight of Israel, "Be strong and of good courage. For you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give you, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear, do not be dismayed. The two-word phrase, nazak wa'amatz, translated here, be strong and of good courage. That phrase is used 12 times in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 31, Moses says it to the people of Israel. In verse 6, in verse 7, Moses says it to Joshua. In verse 23, God says it to Joshua. In Joshua 1, verses 6 through 9, God says, be strong and of good courage to Joshua three more times. In Joshua 1:18, the people say it to Joshua. And forming a bookend in Joshua 10:25, Joshua says it to the people just as Moses had said it to the people. Now for the next uses, it's interesting. I don't know quite what to make of this. We jump 7 centuries and the same phrase shows up in the books of the Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 22:13 and 28, where David tells Solomon to be strong and of good courage. And then in 2 Chronicles 32:7, as Hezekiah, besieged by the Assyrian king Sennacherib, tells his military officers to be strong and of good courage in the face of the enemy and what looks like certain defeat. Nazak wa'amatz. While the two words are used separately in the Old Testament, it's their use together at the same time that caught my attention and imagination. And I think that that phrase is critical if we're to understand what courage means in the Bible. You see, Hebrew authors loved repetition and parallelism. It's the essence of Hebrew poetry. Blessed is the man, says Psalm 1, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Now this is building, but it's also, it's parallelism. You repeat things in a slightly different way. Thus, you're not rhyming the sounds of words. In Hebrew poetry, there is no moon, June, spoon. That just doesn't happen. You rhyme the meaning of words. And I think that's what's going on here with Chazak wa'amatz. The biblical writers are rhyming meanings, and that becomes the key to understanding courage in the scriptures. The two words together form a single thought. Nazak means be firm, be strong, be confident. Interesting, the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, translates this andrizu. We've already talked about that. Man up, be a man. Now, I don't think that's as opposed to being a woman. I think that's opposed to being a child. I think the idea is act maturely. Act like an adult who knows what's going on, who knows what needs to be done, and who's willing to stand up and do what needs to be done. Amatz means be stout, also be strong, be bold, be mighty. The Septuagint translates it iskus. We see that word in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. What is the greatest commandment? Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your iskus, with all your strength. St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, Ephesians 6:10. Now interesting there, iskus is not the imperative to be strong. It's the word for God's might. And similarly in 2 Thessalonians 1:9, Paul refers to God's might, his iskus. When he talks about those who will, quote, suffer the punishment of eternal destruction, separated from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. This is a glorious thing. This characterizes God. This is a being like God. So be strong and courageous. This is what scholars call synonymous parallelism, repeating the same thing in different ways. In addition to synonymous parallelism, Hebrew writers employed what was called antithetical parallelism. And we find this all over the book of the Proverbs. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. So we have the two commands, be strong and courageous, as the translation is. We also have them in contrast with other commands. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous, don't fear, and don't tremble. Man up and be stout is set in contrast with don't fear and don't tremble. And in Joshua 1:9, God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous, don't be frightened and dismayed. You get the sense of what you should be like by what you shouldn't be like. And needless to say, if you're fearful to the point of trembling, you're not going to be much of a warrior. And at this point in the book of Deuteronomy and Joshua, what's of concern is being a warrior, because we're going to invade the land now. So while I haven't exactly defined courage in the Bible, you know, I'm trying to triangulate around it to give you a sense of what they're talking about. So let's go on to the context of courage, because that'll also help us triangulate. In the texts in Deuteronomy and Joshua, and then the ones in the Chronicles, the texts point to two categories of acts that will require courage. And both have to do with obedience to God, and both are, in a sense, civil. Not simply personal, but civil. First, Joshua 1, 6 and 7. Be strong and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Joshua had a specific task to carry out. Lead the people triumphantly into the promised land by conquest. War is coming. They will need to fight. The people of Israel, of course, had already wimped out on this task once in a rather spectacular way. This is take two. You may remember that at God's command, Moses in Numbers 13 sent 12 men, one from each tribe of Israel, into Canaan, to the promised land, to spy it out in order to invade it. The 12 included Caleb and Joshua. Moses sent them out, telling them to be of good courage. And they spent 40 days wandering the land, checking out the peoples, and being in awe of the great place that God had for their inheritance. Well, upon return, they made their report. And this is what they said, Numbers 13:31-33. The men said, we are not able to go up against this people. They are stronger than we are. So they brought the sons of Israel an evil report of the land which they spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers. And so we seemed to them. Only Caleb and Joshua said, no. It will be difficult. Yes, they're armed. Yes, they have cities, but we can take it. We can do it. And then the people tried to kill them. And then God intervened, and they wandered for 40 years. This is why they wandered for 40 years. They refused to take the land until that rebellious generation was all dead, except for Caleb and Joshua. So that being the case, Joshua was not some fearful little trembling person who needed bucking up in order to assume leadership. He was already battle-hardened. He was all ready to take over. His character and his courage had been proven again and again in battle with enemies and in battle with the wayward people of Israel. Having said that, for this task, leading to the conquest of Canaan, he needed to stay the course, be firm, be bold, be mature, be mighty. So there's a specific task he's called to, and God says, be strong and courageous in this task. Very briefly, in 1 Chronicles 13, when David told Solomon to be strong and courageous, he also had a civic task in mind. Build the temple. I've gathered all the material. Put it all together when I'm dead. Again, the object is a specific act of obedience to God. Now, so that's a single purpose. Now, there's a broader purpose as well. Be strong and of good courage and obey the law. And from an Old Testament point of view, this is very much a civic duty as much as it is a personal duty. It's not one deed. It's a way of life. Again, in Joshua 1, 6 and 7, be strong and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Both doing God's work and keeping God's law, living God's law, are arduous civic tasks, and both require strength and courage, not fear and trembling. So the definition of courage by triangulation, the context of courage, and then the source of courage. And this is critical, I think, in the difference. Well, it may be critical. We'll have to discuss it. I hinted earlier that St. Paul in Ephesians 6:10 wrote, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, his iskus. You can be strong because God is mighty. And we see the same thing in Joshua. The reason Joshua and the people can be strong and courageous is because God commanded them and God promised to be with them. And God is mighty. And the whole story from Egypt all the way up to this is the story of God being mighty on behalf of his people. Courage in the Bible is entirely the result of faith. I have commanded you. I will be with you, says God. And so Joshua and the people could look back at all that's happened up to this point in the Exodus story. And Joshua could be stout and mighty because God had clearly demonstrated that he was mighty and he was with them. I think you can compare it to Achilles, the God's promised Achilles. You won't die until Hector is dead. All right. Achilles can fight with absolute abandon because as long as Hector's still alive, he can't be killed. He is invincible. Well, it's the same kind of thing here, but it's because God is great. God did not say that everyone would be invincible. And he did say they would be invincible if they obeyed him and carried out his commandments. Joshua could command the people of Israel, invade and conquer Canaan, keep the law, because the Lord commanded these things be done, and he promised, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.